Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights, here with listener questions. Thanks, sponsors, Beckett Media, Beckett Grading, Beckett Authentication, CompC.com, Burbank Sports Cards, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Heritage Auctions, Huggins Scott Auctions, Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. I've been doing these, and I've been grouping them lately, and I've got a few of those coming out that are topical, but this is just nine kind of eclectic things that I accumulate. I'm starting to get more questions. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but with only being three times a week, they do stack up. So here is an attempt to get through nine pretty different questions and comments that came in over the past while. I just accumulate them and then deliver them as I can. So some of them are funny, some of them are serious, and some of them are whatever. You can decide. So I think you enjoy it, especially if your question gets picked. But it's not random. I'm picking questions that I think are interesting. But some of the same people keep writing in because they have a way with words in some cases. Starting with Bob Boozle. Bob has been more high profile. I see him popping in on Jeremy Lee's Sports Cards Live, and he's a frequent commenter to me. He was talking about ComC. Actually, two different comments. One, he said, navigating the offers on ComC helps me sharpen my wargaming skills. Apparently, Bob, you do it differently than I do. The situation on ComC, you can't elaborate. You put your price there. If somebody makes an offer, you can either accept it, reject it, or counter it. I've said I rarely counter. I either accept or reject. And when I do reject, you're not going to like how I reject it. So maybe that's my own version of wargaming skills, Bob. But again, there's no trash talking. But your second comment is that makes ComC a safe place to haggle. He says, because if he got some of those offers in person, he'd have a sore hand from slapping. That's called assault sometimes, but it depends on who the person is slapping and who the person you are slapping. So don't do that. But haggling really is just the back and forth. If they make an offer and you counter it, and then they counter and then you counter, you can go back and forth. eBay's like that. It's a little frustrating. They get five chances to slowly up their bid, and it's frustrating to me. I'm not going to slap anybody, but you can choose to set on ComC your minimum percentage of what you will even consider an offer. And eBay, same thing. You can have a floor. So don't slap anybody, Bob. Promise, last one from Bob Boozle about celebrities in the backgrounds of cards. He says, spotting a celebrity in the background of cards is like getting a bonus onion ring in your bag of fries. I'm not sure either one of those are very healthy, but the hobbyists I know do like bags of fries, and maybe they like onion rings too. I do too. I don't like surprises unless they are pleasant surprises. On the other hand, for some people in the hobby, Bob's analogy would be getting, instead of a bag of fries and a bonus onion ring, but getting an extra large bag of fries for my larger hobby friends. For my higher end hobby friends, they would like, instead of getting a bag of fries, to get a bag of truffle fries, the higher end kind of thing. And then for my messy friends in the hobby, they'd like to get a bag of chili fries. I have that down here in Texas. So thanks, Bob, for your whimsical comments that have a ring of truth to them in many cases. From Card Blog, my friend Ken's Kinsley. He says, you mentioned Jeremy Lee having to block negativity, but Ken says he brings a lot of that on himself, so he doesn't listen or watch Jeremy Lee's stuff anymore. Let me just say that Jeremy Lee is opinionated. He has opinionated guests, and he has opinionated viewers, and it's live, and it's combustible. Ken, I take your point that occasionally there's some things that are distracting and he deals with it in his own way, but he's doing a lot right with the following that he's built up. But I think it's like when I'm listening to the crossover, and I've told Josh and Chris and Christina that it's some of the best 30 minutes each week that I consume for hobby content. Unfortunately, it's embedded in 2 hours worth of back and forth, and there's some great stuff in there, but I don't know which 30 minutes I'm going to like the best. Same thing with Jeremy Lee. 2 hours, it's not to be underestimated. It's hard work. And of the 2 hours, when I listen to it, there's 30 minutes of great stuff in there. Sometimes there's 2 hours of great stuff in there, but you have to listen and follow, and he keeps it moving. So I'm a fan. Next one from All Time Sports Cards, commenting about the uniformity of slabs in sets. My conversation with Joe Orlando. I think different slabs. He mentions some people derogatorily call it a Frankenstein collection if you have multiple companies doing your slabs. Frankly, I just think it depends on your display. If you're displaying in a certain way, then uniformity will look better. And you have a choice. If you've got mostly one company, you might want to do the rest of them that way. But there have been numerous things that have come out that crossing over from one company to another is not a no-brainer. It frequently does not go well. And sometimes it goes very badly when the second company rejects the card. Now you've got a raw card that is questionable. Think twice before you try to make uniformity for uniformity's sake. Back in the day, in the early 2000s, we were looking at grading and getting rolling, and we really tried to follow the beat of our own drummer. We did notice that at one point, and this was early on, we had 31 other companies' types of slabs. And I guess I should say I got those. And over the years, I just busted them out. I probably should have kept them. It would have been a really nice collection of defunct grading companies. And yet, like I say, for my ability to display, if it's a decent card, I'm going to put it in a BGS holder. Okay, next from Hannah Torres. Hannah contacted me. She's a student at Cal State, Channel Islands University in Camarillo, California, working on a bachelor's degree in anthropology, study of human beings. It turns out she's gotten into collecting because of her dad. Her dad introduced her to it, and her dad is now blind. So just like Rocco Rosato, he relies on his wife. And so Hannah is helping her dad out by describing what the cards are. I guess they go to shows and shops together. And she said she reads through the Beckett magazine, the various written content to help him and to enjoy it together. I love that. I think that's terrific. However, she wanted me to speak to the fact that she's doing this survey for collectors in the hobby and trying to find out what motivates. As I've said, is there a gene, not a gene defect, but is there anything in the DNA? And I don't think there is, but if you go back even to caveman days, there probably were people that collected certain things. Why they collected, I don't think the cavemen collected for profit necessarily, although they may have. That's why they put salt on the meat to preserve it. So they weren't collecting it, but they were saving it. So saving and collecting are related. But she's wondering, and this is interesting to me, when an anthropologist comes at it, they're looking to describe the phenomenon. And when a statistician looks at it, like me, I'm trying to figure out, because she's saying there's a debate of whether collectors more enjoy the hobby due to nostalgia or good feelings and the collecting aspect, or is the investment aspect a bigger deal? I think it's both for so many people. Now, so to me as a statistician, I take that as a given that both of those are powerful factors, and I'd want to look at the degree. She's not doing that, which is okay because it's easier to get a handle on it, but I think it's both. And she's limited the study to 18 years of age or older, which I think it'd be interesting to see what would happen if the young kids are different. I think the young kids now, Hannah, are maybe more value conscious than the older. I think when you look at the baby boomers who've collected for a long time, they just have a joy of collecting. The other thing I noticed is that she's asking for a time commitment of 10 to 20 minutes of your time. I don't like that. I actually did do the survey and it took less than 10 minutes, but I think some people, they think, I don't know if it's 10, 5 minutes or less, I would say. She also has a disclaimer that there are no known harms or discomforts associated with this study. No animals were harmed. Maybe the pride of some people might be harmed if they get into the survey and realize that they're more one way than another. So I will put a link to the survey just in case you want to do that. Like I said, it was fun. And when there's scholarly interest in our industry, that's a good thing. Okay, next was a little bit of a downer. I've been doing the occasional videos when I get a box, whether I buy it or whether I get it given to me by one of the companies. And a guy took issue, promos, whatever, but some self-promotion, which I don't think they're talking about me self-promoting because I don't need to self-promote. But when my sponsors give me a box, I want to unbox it and reveal it. And I don't think I lay it on too thick. I'm trying to add additional value because anybody can open a box. But when you see the box and see the variety, as I am for the first thing, I think it's helpful. There's a lot of videos out there on YouTube that break boxes. And I'm not sending you to Panini's website or anything like that. I'm just saying they're one of the major companies. If I'm guilty of promoting the hobby, then so be it. That's great. And I'm not doing it through social media. My venues are strictly, in case you catch me at a show, my visibility is strictly through my podcast and these occasional YouTube videos. ASMR people commenting about the PSA, SGC, not merger, but acquisition. And he is saying combined registry is going to happen, whether it's just PSA and SGC or Ryan Stasinski at Gemrate's already doing some of this. You got to be careful when you're combining the specific grades, but he's just mentioning that if you start with PSA, you're getting a lot of it, but you're not getting all of it. And that actually could change. But with SGC merged in, we'll see how that plays out. So thank you for your comment. And then lastly, from 1P4G, who's written in before, I don't know if you're speculating or you have sources, but he, very definitively, he is saying that Collectors, the parent company of PSA, bought SGC just to hold it for a year or two and then sell it to somebody who will agree via a purchase agreement that they can't sell it for 5 years. Again, this is the defensive theory of why PSA bought SGC, that they bought it in order to keep somebody else from buying it. That is a theory, and that's very possible. But mentioning that PSA has no long-term interest in SGC and that SGC will be a problem, but I think SGC is making money. And as far as buying companies that are going to be run separately that make money, there's nothing wrong with that. But like I said, I think they're going to try to make sure that their promotions are consistent, that they're not competing with each other in a way that's negative to either one of them. So thanks for your comment, 1P4G. I think unless you have some sources, to me, that's a very interesting theory. And it's a plausible theory. Why people buy things could be offense, could be defense. But I will assure you, I think PSA has extreme long-term interest in the category, just as Fanatics does as well. Collectors and Fanatics are both here to stay. I think Collectors is going to go public again, and Fanatics is going to go public for the first time. So they're going to be doing positive things that look good and that are for the long-term benefit of our industry. So I'm glad about that. Trying to crush your opponent is against Sun Tzu. Read The Art of War. That's not helpful. Just be the best you can be. And I think most of the companies in this industry are doing that. Thanks, everybody, for your questions. And I will be back promoting something else next time. No, I'm kidding. Again, I'm promoting the hobby. And if I'm promoting my own podcast, I'm not doing a great job of that because I don't want to talk anybody into anything. I just want to present some opportunities for understanding the hobby better and being able to tell some stories, interview some people I think you'll enjoy. I'm having fun with it. I'm promoting the fun of it. I think there's also an investment aspect. But as Hannah said, it's probably both. Thanks, and be back again tomorrow.